everybody. So today I'll be discussing one of the projects that I work on at the Center of the Study of Asian American Health, or the, which we call the STRIVE project, the strategies to reach and implement the vision of health equity. I have no financial relationships to disclose before I start. And during the course of the presentation, I'll give some background on the Asian American population and the impetus for the STRIVE project. I'll then go into a brief overview of the STRIVE project and what it entails, and one aspect of the STRIVE project, which will be the focus of this presentation, the qualitative key informant interviews. And then I'll go over some preliminary results and some conclusions and next steps about this part of the project. So just in terms of some background, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders are the fastest growing racial and ethnic group in the United States, and they are incredibly diverse and have almost over 30 different ethnic subgroups and almost 1,000 languages. However, Asian Americans, although portrayed as the model minority in much of the literature and kind of popular media as well, this group often suffers from significant chronic health disparities, especially in terms of cardiovascular diseases such as hypertension. Again, with great ethnic variation, and some groups such as Filipinos have higher rates compared to most other racial and ethnic groups, and including their white counterparts. Many often attribute these higher rates of cardiovascular disease health disparities to lower rates of healthy behaviors, which we're trying to promote, including low rates of physical activity and poor nutritional practices. So in response to kind of the health disparities, there's been a lot of recent initiatives and lots of focus from large funding agencies that focus on the implementation of high-impact population-wide, again, all these buzzwords that they're using, evidence-based policy systems and environmental strategies, which I'll call EBPSE strategies now, to address chronic disease prevention. They've been shown to be very effective in the overall population and within some different racial and ethnic groups. And then there's the small but growing research that suggests that cultural modifications to these strategies can be successful, and these have been mostly around the areas of disease, diabetes prevention and management. However, among the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander community, these strategies, although have been shown to be effective in a larger population, really haven't been shown to be effective in this group. And there's a lack of research really on the uptake and impact of these strategies on the Asian American population. And a large part of this is really due to the lack of the culturally tailored programs in among these strategies to manage chronic disease or promote healthy behavioral changes for the Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders in a way that's appropriate and relevant for them. So with that in mind, we created and developed the STRIVE project, again, the strategies to reach and implement the vision of health equity. And the STRIVE project was funded as one of the six national networks under the CDC Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health, or the REACH program. Our STRIVE project is co-led by two groups, so we at the Center for the Study of Asian American Health at NYU, and then we are co-led by the Asian and Pacific Islander American Health Forum, which is based in San Francisco. So we have a dual leadership role in this project. And the aim is really to reduce Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander chronic disease-related health disparities by targeting some of these healthy behaviors that we're finding to have low rates among the community. So targeting physical and activity and poor nutrition in communities. And our focus is a national scale across the U.S. and the Pacific Islands. So for our particular STRIVE project, we funded 15 CBOs, which I'll now call partners, our STRIVE partners. They received anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 to implement these strategies, these high-impact EBPSE strategies, to address really the cultural, linguistic, and unique contextual factors of the communities and tailor them in a way that makes them more relevant to their communities, and making sure that these strategies that are being promoted at the national level are really being affected and felt by the Asian American communities across the country. Also, as part of their program and as part of their project, each STRIVE partner was also expected to develop a multi-sector coalition. Again, this multi-sector coalition we thought would help in the implementation of these strategies because it often includes different sectors that would help to increase the effectiveness of these strategies. So many coalitions had academic partners, the CBOs, but also sectors such as the police department or the parks department. Again, just helping them, making sure these strategies are implemented in an effective manner. Each STRIVE partner is also expected to conduct a community health policy assessment using the CDC's CHANGE tool, and I'm happy to talk about that method to use as a health community and policy kind of assessment. And this results of the community assessment really helped to, or really targeted to tailor and making sure the strategy that the HCBO chose to implement in the community was, again, relevant and appropriate for their communities and for the geographic location. And then finally, each partner was expected to implement a community action plan that included tailored EVPSC strategies. So these are our 15 STRIVE partners. Again, we chose groups that really reflected the diversity of the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities across the U.S. and the Pacific Islands. So we have everyone from Asian Services in Action in Ohio, actually, from BPSOS, which is a Vietnamese group in Bayou-Lebatre, Alabama, and in Orange County, California, to the Tolama Tartangans in San Mateo, California. So, again, a wide range of ethnicities represented within the STRIVE groups that were chosen. And then I also wanted to show the geographic kind of spread of the different projects. So we have groups in the Northeast. Again, there's a high concentration of different Asian groups within it. But we also have groups such as Bo People SOS, which has in New Orleans, I'm sorry, in Alabama, and we had Rock Nola in New Orleans that we worked with who work with a large Southeast Asian, specifically Vietnamese population. So again, the groups that we work with are chosen to kind of represent the diversity of ethnic groups, but also kind of working with groups that really aren't getting the care that they receive. So there's a large Southeast Asian groups in these southern states that really were neglected and kind of weren't getting access to care services in a way that were being effective. So we chose these groups as well. And some of the, I know EBPSC strategies is a kind of broad and ambiguous term, so the two kind of overall goals and the strategies that each partner chose were really to increase access to environments of physical activity and then also increase access to healthy food. Those are the two kind of overarching goals and strategies they were expected to choose within. But again, we wanted to make sure that these strategies that they chose were tailored to their communities but tailored to their geographic locations and just in general made sense for what they needed to do. So we had a broad range of strategies that were chosen by the R group. So people implemented walking trails and bike lanes within their communities, had worksite wellness programs, but again, the worksite wellness were in communities that were relevant to the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities. So they implemented worksite wellness in services and industries that more Asians were represented in. So there was a worksite wellness program within a nail salon organization, for example. And then also increasing access to healthy food. So we had increasing access to farmers markets for the healthy food, but we also had a number of organizations change and implement organizational nutrition policies. These nutrition policies, were in places where was relevant and appropriate for Asian American populations. So in addition to change organization policies maybe at schools or things like that, we also had a number of groups change their nutrition policies at faith-based organizations, again, which is an integral part of many of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities, and they thought that this would reach the most amount of Asians and also kind of have the greatest impact. So again, I keep talking about also tailoring. So this is an example of tailoring that we conducted within the STRIVE project. So this is an example from the Korean Community Services, which worked in New Jersey. So here on the right is the MyPlate, which I think many of you are probably familiar with. Again, being endorsed by many different agencies and organizations as a way to kind of show serving size and also kind of what your plate should be, what your plate should have to make sure you're getting all the nutrition and kind of healthy aspects of food eating that you should be getting. Or for many of our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander groups, this doesn't make sense because we don't eat off of one plate. You know, often Asian communities have family-style meals, communal meals. They often have many different plates or a different type of plate. So KCS, or again, Korean Community Services, adapted and tailored the MyPlate method to be more relevant for the Korean population that they were working with in New Jersey. So here you can see they changed the MyPlate to a bento box, again, to be more relevant and kind of saying what each bento box component should look like. And then down here, I know it's a little hard to see, but it shows the serving size. So, you know, you should have a palm-sized serving of one of a protein, a fist-sized serving of vegetables or things like that. So, again, tailoring in a way that, you know, language is important, but also kind of making these evidence-based national kind of strategies more relevant and more appropriate for their communities. And again, here are some other strategies that were implemented by our different STRIVE partners. So Tolama for Tongans in Utah used joint use agreements to implement physical activity classes within their community, and this is a sign showing the Zumba classes they offered. KCS, again, in New Jersey, worked with ethnic grocery stores to increase access, visibility, and incentivize purchasing of healthy food. So this is a big display of whole grain brown rice in a large, very large ethnic grocery store in New Jersey, and the store also worked with the community organization to provide coupons to incentivize purchasing of the brown rice. These two pictures here are the implementation of the nutritional policies within faith-based organizations. So again, for many Asian American groups, the churches offer a communal meal that were often not healthy that they were finding, so groups worked to make sure that they were healthier. And then also within this picture is the United Sikhs, which part of Sikhism is offering a large communal meal every single day. So they made sure that these foods that they were serving at the community meals were, again, communal meals were healthier. And here's one example. So you can see a vegetable, some fruits, some greens, things along those lines. Before, there was no healthy options in these types of meals. Here is our Cleveland group, who is actually working with urban planners in the planning of Asiatown, which they're developing, and they want to make sure that there are bike lanes and walking paths for the Asian American groups in that community to access. Here is Operation Samahans. One of their strategies was to make some menu options in ethnic restaurants healthier. So here they changed one of the recipes in a Vietnamese restaurant. And here is KKV in Hawaii. They work with farmers markets and community gardens to making sure that the produce that was offered was culturally relevant for the Asian American groups, again, offering fruits and vegetables that they're more used to eating and kind of cooking, and then also increasing access to EBT at farmers markets and making them more accessible. So again, the focus of this is the key informant interviews, which is part of the overall larger STRIVE evaluation. So during the course of the STRIVE evaluation, we had six different methods of evaluation that we collected a number of quantitative and qualitative information on, and this included the multi-sector partnership forum, which really collected information about the coalitions that were integral to the project, bi-monthly progress reports from each of the partners, monthly update calls for with each of the partners and their project officer, site visits, a social network analysis to kind of collect information about the interconnectedness between the STRIVE partners, and then also overall among kind of different groups within the country, and then again, the qualitative key informant interviews. So the purpose of the key informant interviews was really to understand the process and identify key themes around the tailoring and adaptation used by all of our STRIVE partners. For each partner site, we had one to two key informant interviews, and they were often done over the phone, just again, given the geographic spread of the project between August and September 2013. The topic guide or the interview guide was derived from a review of extant literature and kind of STRIVE preliminary data from the other data collection sources. And we used a framework from Reznikow, Ethnicity Disease 1999, that categorized cultural tailoring along two dimensions, surface and deep structure, which I'll actually go through a little bit as well. All interviews were audio tape transcribed and analyzed for thematic codes using Atlas TI by two independent coders. Again, just a little bit more about the topic guide. So we collected information on a number of domains, including decision-making around kind of which strategy they chose to implement, the population, any kind of population level, environmental or cultural factors that influence strategy modification, but also choice. Again, how they modified the strategy, what was the process they used to tailor the strategy, not just overall, but if they had to tailor by overall, like individual sites or individual groups, things along those lines, and kind of just the success and reach of these culturally tailored strategies in achieving the outcomes of increasing access to healthy food and also physical activity opportunities for these groups. So again, some preliminary results. In terms of our overall goal, again, the STRIVE project dispersed about $3 million to 15 different Asian American NHPI serving CBOs or our partners across the country and the Pacific. Initially, we had given our CDC project officers a reach of about 590,000. And as of March 2014, we actually had a final population reach of about 1.4 million Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders in less than 8 months of kind of project implementation. So a great achievement for all of our partners and kind of for the STRIVE project. And again, it's because in making sure that these strategies were tailored in a way that's appropriate and relevant really made a big impact on the community. And again, because of the the number reached and the number of money that was dispersed, it was about $2.12 per person reached. So in terms of the key informant interviews, all partners agreed that tailoring was key. All of these strategies that were being promoted at the national level for increasing access to physical activity opportunities and healthy foods weren't being felt by their communities, and the only way that they were actually being felt by the communities is tailoring it. So as with this person noted, without cultural tailoring, the project could not be successful, and this was repeated again and again among all of the different STRIVE partners. However, this tailoring took different forms. So it wasn't. So there was some surface structure change, some deep structure change, and then tailoring at the site level, which I'll go through briefly as well. So surface structure change, I think these are kind of cultural adaptations that many of us are aware of. So, you know, changing the language, using epidemiological data that's more relevant for the local communities, so showing what's the chronic health disparities for Asian Americans, and also just matching the race and ethnicity of the group, of the materials to the local community. So here the example is that the original training was about American restaurants, and they changed it for Asian restaurant food, and they talked about kind of the MSG and translated to Chinese. But there's also a number of deep structural change, so hiring staff from local community, making adaptations that reflected the religious faith-based organizations that people worked with, and incorporating cultural food, exercise, or characteristics of the local community. So here, one person talks about kind of the physical activity program that they implemented in their schools. They took a cultural spin to it. So the Chinese schools, they said, instead of doing let's do jumping jacks and push-ups, they said let's do kung fu, and they took kung fu classes over the summer. Another group talked about hiring staff largely from the local community and making sure all the staff hired had cultural sensitivity training. And again, tailoring was not just done overall, but also many partners noted that they had to do it for each individual site. So our project partners worked with faith-based organizations across a number of different ethnic groups. So Korean churches, Sikh gurdwaras, and each of them had to do specific individual level tailoring at the site level, which I thought was interesting as well. And then one of the people in the STRIVE project noted it was because each site is unique and different. And without that level of tailoring, you were doing a disservice to the community, and you have to do it, and you can't just say that you have to do it this way. So some challenges in terms of adapting and tailoring these strategies. There was limited experience on EBPSE strategies at the individual and organizational level. Many of our groups had a lot of experience working on individual level change, but to make it an organizational level change or a policy level change was often unfamiliar for a lot of these groups. Many groups noted working with the government sector was a large barrier in terms of making sure their strategy was implemented in a way that was effective, and you know, many groups noted the bureaucracy of working with the government sector, and that really relates to the third challenge that we noted was time. You know, a lot of these strategies took in order to change things at the organizational, at the policy level, or the environmental level. It took a lot of time, but we were only given a 7-month time frame in order to conduct an assessment, create the coalition, and implement the policy. The change. So a lot of people noted that the time challenge was a big barrier in terms of making sure the strategy was implemented in a way that they wanted to. Some facilitating factors of success were, again, with partnership, trust, and then the way they disseminated the information. So the coalitions were noted by many partners as a really big facilitating factor of success in terms of making sure their strategy was implemented effectively. And then many of them noted that the coalition were just made up of leaders in different sectors that facilitated implementation. And then the other partnership that was noted was that the actual community-based organization or the partner that we worked with was already a trusted, visible factor in the community. So you wanted to make sure that they were working with people that they already knew, and kind of they were standing on the shoulders of those who had already come before us. Again, and then trust from the community. So one partner noted that there was already trust right away from our organization. So when the organization came to them, to the community, and said, you know, we want to throw out this crazy idea, they were like, yeah, because we know we wouldn't steer them in the wrong direction. So again, that trust from the community-based organization really facilitated implementation of these strategies. And then using ethnic media was a really big facilitating factor of success to making sure the message got out and was really being affected and impacted by the work, by the community. So this is, again, Korean Community Services. They use a number of different modes and mediums for dissemination, including Korean TV, Korean radio, Korean newspaper, things along those lines. So just in terms of some conclusions, we found that these strategies are critical to mitigating chronic disease health disparities among the community, but these strategies really need to be targeted and tailored to be meaningful and relevant to the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities. As one project partner noted, being culturally relevant, you know, is a mutual respect between community members and us. And we found that by tailoring it and making it more relevant, it was really more readily acceptable by the community. And another partner noted, it can't be a cookie-cutter system. It can't be a cookie-cutter system at all. You can't just say it's my way or the highway. You really have to involve the community in terms of how it's going to be tailored and implemented to make it more effective. And again, we found that working with the CBOs was a great way to making sure these strategies were implemented in a timely and effective manner. Because of the trust in their communities, they were well poised to implement these strategies to reduce health disparities. However, more research is needed to determine kind of the best practices, best process, and protocols for really adapting these strategies for meaningful impact. Again, I just wanted to acknowledge our funders, the CDC. So we had the grant from the CDC REACH program. And then I also wanted to Strive was indeed a team effort. So in addition to kind of the partners within CISA and the Health Forum, I really wanted to acknowledge all of the different community partners that we worked with for the Strive project. And then we'll take questions at the end. Thank you.